Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. We've got a great hour ahead today. Talk a little bit about how we can influence others through mentoring and just guiding and coaching and living life together. And Ted, I don't know if you have, there's one or two people in your life that really provide some mentorship, some leadership for you. So
absolutely, yeah. I think it's important to maintain a mentor throughout your life, really. Yeah. I mean, I know Bill Arnold has Humphreys as his mentor,
We're going to kind of dive into that a little bit deeper and talk about what's going on in our culture, some of the changes taking place. I do want to mention just a couple of, I guess maybe housekeeping notes, the Living on the Edge opportunity to get that MP3 album of Chip Ingram's series, The Real Heaven, what the Bible actually says, that is still available through the end of the month, so a couple more days on that. So we'd love to have you sign up online at myfaithradio.com. It's right in the front page. You can sign up for that. Writers Contest has just launched, and you can find out about that on the homepage. And then if you go to the Connecting Faith Show page, you can sign up to be part of our studio audience here next month.
That's May 19th. It's a Thursday. We do our Ask the Professor shows every Thursday, the third Thursday usually. And it'll be live in studio here at our studios on the campus of University of Northwestern St. Paul, Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So if you're in the area and want to be a part of that, just check it out at myfaithradio.com.
And we should see if we could get Jeff Myers to come and be one of our live professors sometime. Dr. Jeff Myers is president of Summit Ministries, highly respected worldview training program with tens of thousands of graduates making a difference all across the world in politics, law, academia, medicine, science, and business. And over the past 20 years, Dr. Myers has been one of America's most respected authorities on youth leadership development, and he's been a professor. He's written a bunch of curriculum and a number of books. And we're going to talk today about how we cultivate and help the emerging generation through life-on-life mentoring. Jeff, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you. It's great to be with you guys. This lunchtime show is a great idea, and I love being a part of it.
We know you were on with Bill Meyer on the morning show here just last week, so we're glad to get a little bit more of your time today. We do want to give our listeners an opportunity to call and join in with their questions or comments as well, particularly talking about mentoring and leadership development. And Jeff, I guess maybe personally for you first, did you have someone that really poured into your life in a mentor relationship that really kind of sparked your interest in seeing this move forward?
You know, Neil, I did, and the story of how it happened, maybe I've sewn it together in my mind a little too neatly, but I was born in Detroit, Michigan. Shortly after I was born, I was a young child. There were riots there that began the destruction of that city, and a destruction that continues to this day. My parents moved from Detroit, Michigan to Great Bend, Kansas. That's culture shock. And went from a large church to a tiny church, but there were people in that church who invested in my little brother and me, and over the years encouraged me to attend a program in Colorado called Summit, where I met a guy named David Noble, who's the founder, and I said to him, I have a lot of questions, so I hope you have a lot of answers, which sounds very rude, but I was so desperate to find answers for why Christians believe what they believe. And he said to me, we're not afraid of any questions here at Summit. And he said, we want you to have something to live for that's so valuable that you'd be willing to give your life for it. I'd never met anybody like that, but David Noble became an incredible mentor to me, and I've had many others. But that led to the opportunity I have today to be the CEO at Summit myself.
It's a wonderful ministry. We're going to talk more about it, about some of the great summer programs that are going on or getting on soon, and want to get your kids to plug into that. But you've been doing mentorship. I mean, at one time, I think you'd founded an organization called Passing the Baton International, and mobilizing thousands of adults to mentor, coach, and disciple. I'm interested, over your 20 plus years of doing this, maybe what's changed in terms of leading and training the emerging generation?
You know, it's funny, Neil. Yesterday, I had a leadership team meeting here, and we were just kind of laughing about some of the young adults we're working with today. Not laughing at them, but just laughing at how different they are in the way we do things. For example, I mentioned there was a program, and the director, the kid walked in with a baseball cap, and he said, "Okay, hats off while you're inside." And the kid just turned to him and said, "Why?" And it's, you know, he didn't have any sense of the tradition of that, you know, didn't know what's going on, and he did not assume that the leader was right just because he was the leader. So you've got to be able to answer that why question, and you've got to be able to explain the history of it a little bit. We're not in a generation right now where young adults will just do what you say just because you say. There's no just because anymore. You've got to have some reasoning behind it. Now, that's both, you know, frustrating for people who are in leadership because they sometimes just need things to get done, but it's also a great opportunity for people who are in leadership to affirm why we do the things we do and to be able to explain that well. I really think it's a biblical thing. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope you have, and I think we're in a generation where that's going to be really critical.
Well, maybe even, you know, before we talk about some effective ways to relate to today's generation, maybe we should talk about how not to relate to them, because, it, as you said, the just because doesn't work anymore. Are there some other maybe things that we should, you know, move off our plate, say, this is how we're going to talk this way anymore?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we just really covered one of the biggies right there. It's not just saying just because. You can say, you know, that's a really good question, and I'm going to get back to you on that. But for now, we need to move ahead and get this done. Okay, you know, that's an okay response. But to be able to say, you know, just because, kind of have to take that out of our vocabulary. Things like, you know, when I was your age, it would take that out of the vocabulary. Assuming that we know what is cool, you know, I was visiting with my leadership team yesterday, and I have a son who's in college, and you know, somebody said something about, oh, you know, we just got to the place where, you know, my parents are okay with wearing blue jeans to church, and I just started laughing. I said, listen, this is where we are. My son won't wear blue jeans to church because he thinks only old guys wear blue jeans to church. And, you know, so you just, things move. You've got to keep moving along. You've got to, you know, really focus in on who they are as people, you know, explaining things, helping them understand that and recognizing that, look, we're not going to be cool. We can relate across the generations, but not because we're like them. We've, in fact, got to be adults. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's good.
You know, there are quite a few of those kinds of things we cover in some of our materials.
In fact, you've written a number of curriculums, and one of them that we're referencing is called Cultivate, which I guess is more of a teacher curriculum, but forming the emerging generation through life-on-life mentoring. I think you have a church version, right, called Grow Together. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Our concern has been at Summit Ministries. Of course, our focus is preparing a rising generation of young leaders to faithfully live out a biblical worldview in every aspect of life. We do that through these 12-day programs we have here in Colorado and Tennessee and California. And we found, guys, that when we started doing that, we had to teach truth in the context of relationship. Because without the relationship, the young adults we were working with weren't compelled, right? They go to church in one of their teenagers because they have to, but when they get to choose, they walk away. 70% walk away. Church for them is not a safe place to be to talk about things that are really true. And so we drilled down on that, and we found it's not that these young adults think the biblical answers don't make sense. It's just that they can't figure out how to explain the biblical answers in a way that makes sense to their friends, right? So like they're at school or they're around the water cooler at work or in there, the break room at work, and the issue of, say, same-sex marriage comes up. A lot of times the Christian kid will say, you know, I don't think Christianity has anything important to say about that because every time I bring it up, I get called a bigot. They want to know how to communicate truth in a winsome fashion, and I think that's a really good challenge for the church today. If we can do it, and we can do it in a personal, relational way, we can make the church stronger. That's the whole point behind the GrowTogether.org program we put together.
GrowTogether.org would be a good resource to look at. And also, I guess, Summit, is it just Summit.org or is it Summit Ministry?
It is, yeah, Summit.org. Yeah, we cut in early on that one, I guess.
We'll be giving that web address out a few times as well. Let's take a break quickly, and then we'll come back and dive in more as we talk about growing the leaders of tomorrow and helping the emerging generation through mentoring. What does that look like? We're going to talk about what happens if the leaders of tomorrow only learn from TV personalities and heroes and superstars. So what does that mean? And we'll get into some biblical framework for God's pattern of leadership development. And what does it mean to be an adult? We'll get to those questions. You may have a question or a comment, or maybe a story about someone who invested in your life, and you'd just like to give a shout out to someone who really played an important part in your life in helping you grow in your faith and life in general. Love to hear about it. You can join the conversation at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Jeff Myers, who's the president and CEO of Summit Ministries, coming up in just a moment. That's pretty much me, despite my kids' best efforts. Can't quite get me into the 21st century. We're talking today about helping today's generation growing up in a world of broken homes and technology-mediated relationships. The emerging generation needs positive, life-on-life influence from older adults more than ever to truly thrive. Talking about it today with Dr. Jeff Myers, President and CEO of Summit Ministries, our great worldview training program. It has tens of thousands of graduates making a difference around the globe. They have wonderful 12-day programs going on throughout the summer. You can find out more at summit.org. We're talking about some ways that we can cultivate relationships through mentoring. And, Jeff, one of the questions I guess we want to find out about is what happens if, tomorrow's generation of leaders hasn't really learned from mentors, but they're finding their influence from TV personalities or superstars or heroes. What does that mean for our society?
Well, that's one of those questions that it's like a softball just lobbed right directly in front of the bat, right? Because it would be catastrophic if we let the culture set the tone for the culture. The whole point of a Christian worldview is that it's based on something that's true that stands above or rises above the things that we see around us. And, I believe every young adult's asking three big life questions. What is true? Who am I? And then what difference does it make that I'm here? And we can talk about each one of those questions individually, but when you listen to music today or you watch television programs, the answers you get to those questions are very different. And it's the answer to every question is me. It's all about me, right? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Everything is about me. I'm the center of reality. You have to accommodate me, and so forth. That kind of a society, a me first rather than a you first society, goes directly against the grain of what Jesus taught and what's been the basis really of every good thing that's happened in civilization. That it's you first, not me first. It's serving, not being the center of reality. That's at the heart of it.
Well, interesting as you were talking about that, I remember reading in the book Cultivate as I was looking through it that you say, asking the question, what do you want to do with your life, isn't necessarily the right question. I mean, we think, well, that's a good question that, a mentor could ask a mentee, but it kind of gets back to that selfish emphasis, doesn't it?
It does, but you see not only the selfishness, but you see the stress that kind of life causes. In fact, there's a group I don't listen to a lot of music today, but I'll tell you, I do run a lot, and I ask my kids to put songs on my playlist for me that they listen to.
Sure.
And, man, that's a way to very quickly learn about what's going on. But one of the groups they put on there is a group called 21 Pilots, and they have a song about, you know, longing for the days when their mother sent them to sleep, but now we're stressed out. You know, wake up, you got to make money. It's a really catchy song, but the point of it really resonates with young adults today, that there's this mentality of it's all about money, it's all about getting a job and so forth, and there's starting to be some pushback against that. And we can help. As Christians, we can just sit down and ask them, you know, tell me, what are the things that return energy to you and make you feel more alive? What are some areas where you really feel you could challenge yourself? How can I help you? How can I walk alongside of you? Those coaching kinds of questions are much better than the confrontational, hey, you know, you need to get a job, what are you going to do, kind of question. Because that just really, I don't know, I guess it convinces the rising generation that they really aren't safe to ask their big questions around a lot of the people they should be able to trust.
We're going to talk more about those coaching questions as we go along. I thought maybe just to, and I've got a call from Tom we're going to get to in a minute, but I want to get your thoughts, Jeff, on what does it mean to be an adult today, and maybe characteristics of a mature Christian adult. Seems like we're in a world of gender confusion and, you know, prolonged adolescence. So what does maturity look like?
Well, Neil, I think that at the heart of it, we've got to understand what God's view of the world is. When God looks at us, what does he see? What does he want us to be? And God wants us to grow to be more mature. He growing up, being mature is a good thing, not the reverse direction, you know, just trying to be younger and younger. And the heart of it is understanding God, who God is in creation, understanding what sin is, that we have a sin nature, that other people have a sin nature, that we must take that into account, and then to ask the question, what does redemption look like? In redeeming the culture, we talk about that a lot, but it means, you know, what are some things that are going wrong that I could influence? What are some things some good things happening that I could encourage? Those sorts of questions are the kinds of questions adults ask in moving to a you first rather than a me first kind of society. So there's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more to it. But man, I think we just start with the recognition that being immature is not a good thing. And we don't have to settle for that. We don't just have to say, well, you know, we need to be immature to reach the immature. That isn't true. The young adults we're working with say, no, that's not what we want from adults. We want adults to be adults so we have somebody to walk alongside to point out the right way to go.
Good words from Dr. Jeff Myers, President and CEO of Summit Ministries. We're inviting you to join the conversation today. We're talking about mentors and those that have influenced your life. And Tom is checking in, listening in Fargo at Faith 1200. Tom, just say a little bit about how your life was influenced by godly men.
Yes. My mom divorced in 1970, and I was 8. But she made sure there were godly men in my life. I had an in-and-out dad, and back in the 70s, you know, a divorced woman and this. But I'll tell you, those two men shaped my life for years to come. They both passed away. And it was, I think, without them in my life would have made a huge hole. The mentors as a kid is so important.
Well, and obviously you're going through a season when that was critical. Tom, thanks for sharing that. Glad to have you listening in. Jeff, I mean, I think that's probably more of a reality than ever before today, isn't it? Where kids coming up in broken homes, that's another good reason why we should consider becoming a mentor.
That's absolutely right. I think, you know, Tom really hit it right on the head there. The church steps in when other parts of society don't work the way they're supposed to. And when marriage as an institution begins to fall apart, children are always the victims. But the church can step in and say, you know, we're not going to become your dad, we're not going to become your mom, but we can walk alongside of you, encourage you. You know, some of the programs we work with, in fact, I'll just give a shout out to a group I really love. It's called the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring, CAYM. And they are doing a remarkable job helping churches put together programs to reach young people who otherwise might not be reached. And you know what? It's not hard. It's an incredible blessing, but it's something, you know, you just want to be faithful through time, reach out to those who are in tough situations in life. I think that's what the church is all about. That's what the church is called to do. So I'm so glad to hear it worked in Tom's situation. But let me tell you something. One mentoring group said there are 600,000 young people in their database who've signed up and said they want a mentor, and there isn't anybody there to mentor them.
You know, I was just thinking, too, that, I mean, you look at across culture today and you say, you know, can a young man really mature without the influence of an older man? I mean, you kind of see evidence of a lack that lacking pretty substantially in all aspects of society, it seems like.
I think you're right. You know, I think young men need older men and young women need older women. But I think it's especially true for young men today. Young men who grow up without the strong guiding influence of an older man tend toward barbarism. And I know that sounds dramatic to say that, but if you look at the places in society where there's real instability, where there's real fear, where there is an ethic or sort of an ethos of crime and insecurity and drug use and so forth, you look at that and every single time at the root of it are young men who haven't had a strong guiding influence of a father or other older men. It is one of those cracks in civilization that is turning into something very serious.
I remember reading, I think Chuck Colson wrote similarly to that in a book many years ago. Said, you know, we're only one generation away from barbarianism. I mean, we don't like to believe it, but that's you know, we do have a role as parents and older adults to train up the next generation, don't we?
It is. It's central to Scripture. In fact, if you look through Scripture, you see these mentoring pairs all throughout. You see Naomi and Ruth. You see Moses and Joshua. The mentoring pairs are significant all throughout Scripture, and it's all significant all throughout church history as well. I mean, we don't hear about the mentors, right? But you know about, everybody knows about St. Patrick, for example. Just had St. Patrick's Day, but St. Patrick was mentored by a man named Germanus. Without Germanus, there wouldn't have been a St. Patrick. Nobody's ever heard of Germanus. But you see, that's how it works. In kingdom influence, it's about grabbing young people, pulling them up to where you are on the ladder of life, and then pushing them on ahead where you yourself could go. Their successes then become your successes. It doesn't matter if anybody ever knows your name.
We're inviting you to join the conversation today as we talk about mentoring, and maybe there's someone in your life that has had a strong influence and you'd like to just give a shout out to them. We'd be happy to take that call, and or maybe you have a question about how to maybe help a child, a young adult that you know. Maybe you're a single parent going, how do I find somebody to sort of step in the place of that other parent for my child? You can join us as we talk about training up and raising the next generation, about mentoring and leading and showing the way to walk of faith. Dr. Jeff Myers is president and CEO of Summit Ministries. They're a worldview training program with tens of thousands of graduates making a difference all across the globe. You can find out more about their great 12-day programs going on starting in the summer at summit.org. And you can also find more about some of the great curriculum resources available there as well. Jeff's written a number of books and resources. And he's with us today on Connecting Faith. Love to take your call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. We're going to talk about, you know, is mentoring just a different level of parenting? Talk about some of the good questions to ask. What's the difference between complimenting and calling out? We'll get to all those things in the moments ahead here on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned. 877-93-FAITH. Someone to come alongside of us and do life together. We're talking about it in the form of life-on-life mentoring. Talking today with Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries, about the great resources they have available, their worldview training that they do, their wonderful programs, but also just he's done a lot of leadership training and helped train thousands of adults to mentor, coach, and disciple the next generation of leaders. And we're inviting you to join in the conversation as well. Don just called in. I want to get to Don's call here on line two, listening in the Twin Cities. Don, you're on with Jeff Myers. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi there. Say, just tuned in. I'm hearing you talk about young people and you know, kind of the support they need. And what's been on my heart lately is just I have a 20-year-old, and then he has friends and, you know, a former girlfriend, so I'm hearing it from both sides. It just seems like there's a black hole for 20-somethings. It doesn't seem like churches do a great job, and especially those that don't necessarily go onto a campus and that have all kinds of choices for, you know, the faith groups on campus. Is there somewhere where I can point these kids to that I'm running into, you know, to find that support they need, an organized group or something that's just really working out in this world?
That's a good question, Don. What do you think, Jeff?
Oh, Don, I love your heart on this. This is the age group we work with. We primarily work with 16 to 21-year-olds. And you've hit on something that is hugely important that a lot of people don't understand. There are Christian groups on campus, but if a student doesn't go away to college, they sometimes fall through the cracks. They're not in high school anymore, so the youth pastor doesn't really do a lot with them. They're not really in the college group anymore. They don't necessarily, you know, they may be working or going to classes and so forth around people who don't have a biblical influence. And we're finding that young adults who don't go off to college in some cases are more likely to walk away from their faith even than those who do go off to college. So, you know, how do you reach them? A couple of things I've really seen work very well. Number one is to go ahead and just make it clear to the 20-somethings, you know, when they're out of high school, you are now, you know, you're part of the adult group here. We can involve you. Find older men who say, just would you take young men out to breakfast? Could you take after church? One thing, I have two sons, so I know they're always hungry. So, you know, can we take you to lunch after church? We're going to go watch the ball game, and can you come watch it with us and bring any friends that you want? We'll feed you guys. You know, those kinds of things, just to integrate them into the adult community is a big part of it. You're going fishing, take a young adult with you. You're going hunting, take a young adult with you. Just that walking alongside, spending time within church, you know, recognizing that they are not a kid. They are an actual adult, and they can, you can treat them that way. Now, there are a couple of other things that I would really, really recommend doing. And one is don't just start, you know, trying to have another group. Because it's not about peer influence at that point. It's in other words, this is not a group of 20-somethings. What you want is a group that's multi-generational, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, in which the 20-somethings feel like they are a significant part. I think that's big. 20-somethings will take care of, usually on their own, being with their friends, people, their own cohort. What you're trying to do in the church is to introduce them and make them a part of something that's bigger. Okay, here's the evidence for that. Young adults, according to a Barna study, young adults who had an adult friend in church were twice as likely to stay in church as those who did not. Young adults who had an adult mentor in church were three times as likely to stay as those who did not. Young adults who had people in church who would give them career advice were, I believe, four times as likely to stay as those who didn't have that. So when it becomes real, it's real life, and there's a real connection across generations, that seems to be the thing that makes a difference. So I hope that wasn't too theoretical, because your question is very practical, and I hope that helps.
It's great, great insight. So, you know, if we're listening, say, and all right, we want to consider starting. Can you sort of talk through some kind of hands on what is it? I mean, there is some time commitment, obviously, and maybe that's an issue for many. Young adults are busy and older adults are busy as well. So let's talk about maybe time and what a good structure might look like.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I do want to mention, I know this wasn't the purpose of the interview, but we put together a movie with Robbie Zacharias and Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell and some others talking about connecting people across generations. It's called Grow Together, and you can see some clips from it at growtogether.org. It's a it's actually a movie and a book and some other things you can use in a church to help create these connections. But I would say the issue of time is an interesting one for older adults and younger adults both. Everybody's busy. So when we talk with older adults, we say don't think in terms of permanent, something permanent here. Just start by going to coffee. Visit a little bit. If the connection is good, then you can say, hey, what would you think about getting together again? And we can kind of share our life stories. That's usually a good place to start. And then maybe, let's get together again and talk about goals in life. What would you like to really accomplish? You know, what are some things you'd really like to be a part of? That kind of, those sorts of questions over the course of a few weeks can be really helpful. If you start off with the mindset of, oh, we have to get together 1 hour every week for the rest of this kid's life, he probably won't ever get started because he doesn't have that time and you don't have that time. But if you say, you know, let's get together once a week for 3 weeks. Let's get together once a month for 3 months. And then you start to see these connections really beginning to happen.
And are there maybe just a handful of basic questions that we can sort of kind of keep coming back to or just use to maybe not shut off conversation but keep dialogue going?
I think there are. Yeah, one of the things we teach is just we teach the young adults to ask questions of older adults. That's one of the main things we really focus on. You know, tell me your story. How did you get to where you are? What are some things that happened to you growing up that helped shape who you are? What are some of the things you've learned about leadership? What are some things that have happened that you would do differently if you had it to do over again? And those sorts of questions. On the adult side, we want them to identify things that you see in that young person. I see this in you. Have you ever thought about this? I see this gift emerging in you. Has anybody ever talked with you about that? I want to acknowledge what God's done in your life. How can I walk with you? I want to see you be successful. Those sorts of questions sound really simple, but they create that trust that's necessary for these sorts of mentoring relationships to really develop.
I noticed as I was looking through the book Cultivate, there was a difference between complimenting and calling out. And I was trying to think about my life. You know, there have been times when people have sort of, you know, offered something more than just a compliment. Maybe just distinguish those difference between those.
Yeah, well, complimenting is saying what someone did well. Great job. I saw this. And you did a great job. And here's what happened. But that's not the only thing. I think you want to get to the place where you're also acknowledging who someone is and what you saw in that situation, but then ultimately championing that you want to give them confidence. We like to say things like, I'm confident that you can accomplish your goal and you can stay on task. And I've seen you keep your commitments and I know what you're capable of doing. I know you can do what you set your mind to. And how can I support you? That it's got to be that full sequence. Otherwise, you're just – there was a research study done by Carol Dweck many, many years ago, and she said that if you just compliment people on things like you're so smart or you're so beautiful or whatever, it actually has a counterproductive effect because if you say, oh, you're so smart, then the person's less likely to want to take risks because they know their failure might disappoint the person who's complimenting them. So instead of saying, you know, you're so smart, say, I really like the way you thought that through and you really worked hard to focus on it. I just saw a level of concentration in you that was remarkable and I admire that. Just wanted to say how proud I am. You see the difference between those?
Very important. I was thinking, too, I know that there's maybe they're just words that mean the same, but it seems like you're maybe in different roles at times where you're advising and coaching or teaching and maybe even sponsoring. Are there distinguishing elements there, or are they all kind of focused on the same end result?
Yeah, well, Neil, this is where the real nerd comes out in me. I thought there are really several different kinds of relational gestures. I love to teach, for example, but sometimes conversations are harder for me. So I sat down with a couple of the young people I was mentoring, and we listed out six different relational gestures. And I thought, how am I ever going to remember all of these? And so we just made this random acrostic called MFACTS, MFACTS, modeling, friendship, advising, coaching, teaching, and sponsoring. all six relational gestures, all necessary for really good relationships over the long term, and a little challenging because I realized on some of those I really feel more comfortable, and others I am stretching more because I don't necessarily do that well, and I need to learn to do it well so I can have the best kind of influence. So you model what people need to know, you know, what it looks like to live a good life. You become friends, you know, where you walk alongside as friends. You do give advice, but you don't give advice unless you have a friendship, right? Because otherwise it comes across as, well, if I were you, I would. And nobody likes hearing what comes after that. You know, coaching, teaching, and sponsoring all in a natural sequence. So that's kind of nerdy, I know, but MFACTS helps me really remember all six of the relational gestures that I need to really be good in relationships.
Well, and maybe that's a point worth mentioning, too, that entering into a relationship like this is not just about us giving out, but we are really, you know, as older, mature adults should be growing and maybe being stretched and challenged as well, so that we're it's not just a, you know, I'll teach you kind of thing.
Absolutely. In fact, it wouldn't be any fun to be in a mentoring relationship if we weren't growing, both of us, right? We want to know. We're both growing to be more of what God's designed us to be, and that's what makes it fun. If it's just a one-way relationship, if you're always giving, and never receiving anything from it, you get worn out pretty fast. But if you know that meeting with this young person, you're always growing as well, wow, that's huge.
Johnny in Minneapolis called and asked this question. He says, whether it's Summit or any other youth mentoring kind of groups, he said, one thing I've never heard mentioned is, do these ministries reach out to people with disabilities and make their materials accessible for those who are blind or visually impaired?
Wow, Johnny, thank you. It's Summit. We have had a particular focus on helping young adults with disabilities. It's a fairly new thing for us. We're located in this antique hotel in Manitou Springs, Colorado, but we arranged our staff and we arranged our facilities here, including elevators and handicap accessible ramps and so forth, to help those who are physically disabled and people who have different kinds of disabilities. We have staff members who will, you know, be a buddy for them, so they can help come through the program and really really absorb it. So I would absolutely encourage you to just call the Summit Ministries and talk and explain, and then say, you know, here's my situation and how can I participate in the program. And that number, the phone number, by the way, is 719-685-9103. There is a toll free number, but I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember what it is.
we're gonna go with that, and of course you can always go online. Summit.org is the place to go as well. So 719-685-9103. Summit Ministries, based out of Manitou Springs, Colorado. They run amazing 12-day programs throughout the summer. We're going to talk a little bit more about those and address some of the other issues about how do we communicate the foundations of our faith to the next generation. You know, how can we encourage open-mindedness with our mentee without being a relativist? I mean, that's one of the challenges, isn't it? What things do we really have to hold on to, and what are simply just sort of cultural patterns that we grew up with? So we'll talk about that, you know, and how does culture look at Christianity today? So how do we encourage today's young person to be able to stand strong in their faith and to effectively share in a winsome way? All that and more in the conversation to come with Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries. You can find out more about Summit at summit.org. Jeff has mentored and trained thousands, and he's written a number of books and curriculum, and he also has been associate professor at Bryan College, teaching graduate and undergraduate classes in leadership and communication, holds a doctor of philosophy degree, and is joining us today on Connecting Faith, and we'll have more in just a moment. By the way, you want to join us with a question, or maybe there's someone that you'd like to just give a shout out to, a mentor in your life that made a big difference. We would love to have you join in at 877-933-2484. talking mentoring and interesting bumpers. Thank you, Ted. But, you know, that's true. Mentoring really is it's an ancient art, and it's something that we can today use in this postmodern world of broken homes and technology-mediated relationships. Today's generation needs a positive life-on-life influence from older adults more than ever before to thrive. And we're talking about how to do that with Dr. Jeff Myers, president of Summit Ministries. You'll find out more at summit.org. We also mentioned about the film and the study materials that Grow Together. GrowTogether.org is a great resource as well. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about in today's culture where Christianity, it's maybe, you know, culture sees Christianity as sort of antagonistic or maybe insignificant. So how do we communicate it as something of utmost importance to the emerging generation?
I still have to say, Ted, I don't know how he knows all of those songs.
The magic of Google.
Yeah, sure.
I cannot get that out of my mind, Ted. You're amazing. So, how do you communicate the relevance of Christianity? It's not just by doing nice things for people, and it's not by avoiding difficult situations. It's by asking questions, and that is the main thing we are learning at Summits. We teach our students to ask questions like, if somebody issues a criticism of Christianity, to say, do you think that's the whole story? You know, it's a really simple question. Do you think that's the whole story? Well, no, I was just kind of mad, so I was just sort of going off. Yeah, well, let's talk about, you know, so it sort of dials the conversation back a little bit, asking questions like, what do you mean by, when you use this term, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Or, tell me what your story is, or, you know, why do you believe that's true? How do you know that what you believe is true? Those kinds of questions seem to be the heart of it. But think of what questions do. They build relationship. This is what Jesus did, right? A friend of mine pointed out, who had studied the New Testament very carefully, Jesus asked 288 questions in the Gospels. And sometimes he asked questions of things that he – you know, that should have been really obvious, like when he healed Bartimaeus in Jericho. Bartimaeus was a blind man, and Bartimaeus said, Jesus, heal me. And Jesus asked, what would you like for me to do for you? And you think, why did you ask that? Because it's obvious what he wants you to do. No, it wasn't. Jesus did not assume the blind man wanted to see. He really wanted Bartimaeus to decide what he wanted to have happen in that situation. So, you know, and this is a pattern all through Jesus' ministry of asking questions. I think we do the same kind of thing.
You know, we want to be willing to engage and listen to someone other's opinion, but still we have to sort of land on solid truth, right? I mean, there's plenty of relativism going on today. So how do we maybe stay open-minded but still land on the truth?
Yeah, Neil, hugely important. We have to, as Christians, be sincere in these kinds of conversations. It can't just be asking a question so that we appear to be polite, so that when we start to tell them the truth, they're ready to listen. It's got to be a genuine conversation, a walking alongside. And in fact, at Summit, we teach four things. The first one is just to be humbly transparent. We don't know everything. Now, that doesn't mean we can't know anything. It just means what we can know what is true, but we can't know everything. So we see dimly, as in a mirror, Scripture says. So we can be honest about our own struggles, and at the same time, we don't have to be wishy-washy, right? It's to say, you know, I have often wondered why God allows pain. You don't have to, in turn, say, therefore, there is no God, right? You know, it's okay. In Scripture, the book of Job, here's my honesty about my pain. There are a lot of passages in the Psalms. God, where are you in this situation? And it's okay to do that. You know, we can say, I'm a fallen creature, so I know my ability to reason is far from perfect. But here's what I understand to be true. It's not true because I see it. It's true because Scripture says it. Second thing is just trusting that God is in charge. God is sovereign. He knows everything that there is to know. You know, this is sort of a weird situation. I don't mean to be you know, to kind of be patronizing about it, but I just was taking my dog for a walk this morning and met a lady I'd never met before, and she started telling me some of her story, and we stopped and prayed. I said, "Can I pray for you?" Just took her hand, prayed right there on the sidewalk, and this is in Manitou Springs, Colorado, a little hippie town, you know? But people are really searching, and they're hungry, and say, "Look, I don't know the answer, but I know God's in charge. Can I just pray with you about this?" We don't indoctrinate people. That's another part of it. You know, I guess, you know, I'm guessing you have genuine questions and doubts. Everybody does. So how can we talk about those together without being, you know, without making each other angry, right? And then to listen, just listen, listen, listen. Tell me more. Tell me what's important to you. Tell me more about that. These sorts of things sound so common sense, but it's amazing how often I found myself failing to do it unless I'm really thinking about it.
Which hopefully, as a result of our conversation today, there'll be a little closer to the top of our mind. That, you know, understand that we don't know everything. We can trust that God's in charge. We don't indoctrinate, and we're going to listen and just simply say, "Tell me more." That's great for any relationship, but certainly I would think for today's emerging generation, that's really vital, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. The older generation, my generation, we ask, "Can you prove it to me?" This younger generation, what they're asking is, "Can you hear me?"
Hmm. Great advice today from Dr. Jeff Myers. Jeff, we've got a couple minutes left, about three, I guess. I want to give you a chance to just talk about the 12-day program summit, kind of what happens there, and just give us some details where we can find out more.
Yeah, thank you, Neil, and I really appreciate you, Ted, and you guys, you're in your show. We love the Twin Cities, and we have a lot of students who will be getting on an airplane this summer to come to Colorado, to Tennessee, or to California for 12 days, 16 to 21-year-olds. They will meet with world-class experts in philosophy, theology, ethics, economics, and so forth, who love Jesus and who have a heart to prepare this rising generation. We'll have great times outside in California. We go, you know, surfing. In Colorado, we go whitewater rafting. And we'll have all these great times together. But you have a chance to get your big questions answered. And parents are finding this program lights up kids and sets them on a life trajectory for embracing biblical truth. It is profoundly influential in their lives. And you come to summit.org, you can find more information. And you got to do it quickly. Unfortunately, we keep adding new programs, but they keep filling up. So we don't have a lot of spaces left. So don't wait. You go to summit.org, look at these programs, and prayerfully consider getting children, grandchildren, neighbors, kids in your church, and so forth to attend.
Well, and as you mentioned right at the outset, you know, the influence of David Noble as we got this started. I mean, over the years, you've got you know, men and women in really all levels of influence in our culture and society as a result of, you know, their training at Summit Ministries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in military, in medicine, I mean, in politics, in all these different areas, it's a demonstration of the fact that we as believers can have an influence in every aspect of society. We can speak truth, we can be loving, we can do that at the same time. We can build relationships with people, and we can also seek to influence culture and make a difference. There's no conflict.
Summit.org is the place to go. You can sign up, find out about their 12-day summer programs, and, you know, it's something that you could certainly maybe give as a gift. It'd be a wonderful gift, I would think, for an upcoming graduate or just a young person that you care about. It would make a life change difference. So, Jeff, thanks for what you're doing there at Summit, and blessings to you as you continue to write and speak and teach in the months to come.
Thank you, and blessings on you guys and your show. Great show. Love it.
Jeff Myers joining us today. Dr. Jeff Myers is president of Summit Ministries, and they're a as we've talked about, a respected, highly respected worldview training program. You know, tens of thousands of graduates making a difference in politics, law, academics, medicine, military, science, business, and more. And we're grateful to have Jeff on with us today. You can find out more at summit.org, summit.org. Or as we talked about, a couple of curriculum opportunities for your church, maybe to get your youth, young adults involved, you can go to growtogether.org, growtogether.org. And if you missed part of today's show and you want to listen again or pass it on to a friend, you know, we post all our interviews online at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. So go to Connecting Faith and listen to the podcast archives of this and other shows. And don't forget to sign up to be part of our studio audience as well. next month, May 19, live studio audience for an Ask the Professor session. We'd love to have you part of it. You can sign up online at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith.